that had passed away memorial service, and Darren was the one that was doing the message down there. And they were, John Bailey was a very close friend to both Deborah and Darren, and he and Deborah and the family had gone down there. So, and I look back at this week, thinking about it, and it's kind of cool because God is so wonderful and so great that He brought four new lives into our congregation and the church families, but He took one away. And Darren and Deborah went there to celebrate the memory of John Bailey. And even though it might have been a sad situation, but the Lord gives and takes away. And it's just amazing if you think about it, you know, this past week. We're going to continue in 1 Peter 3. And this is a tough, tough subject that we are on, submission in the family. I know that there's some people that I know that don't like the word submission. If anybody likes the word submission, raise your hand. I'm losing my voice. I started losing my voice when I was singing in the back. I was like, oh. So in today's culture, and what you've seen in the past few years is that, what Jaron talked about last week, is the governing authority and the authority throughout the community and stuff. It was like rage over the last couple of years, a lot of riots and stuff that have been going by. So submission nowadays is a difficult thing. They think submission is a weakness, but I titled it submission is a virtue. It is. And my wife will say the same thing to you. And it's a virtue. So we're going to go over 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says in God's word, it says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair, putting on the gold jewelry or clothing you wear. Let your adorning be hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is God's in sight, is very precious. This is how the holy women of hoped in the God who used to adorn themselves by submitting their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives as in an understanding way, as showing honor to women, to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So when you look at that, he starts off the verse in likewise. So in order to do that, that's like a continuation of what he said last week. So likewise is kind of like therefore. So what does likewise mean? So if you look at the last week that Darren had talked about, in the last chapter, Peter talked about the submission in different areas of a Christian life. He talked about being submissive in the governing authority, in the workplace, in society. And when you look at the governing body of today's society and what we should agree on, should we agree on everything? When you look at what the government is pushing, should we agree on everything the government says? No, we shouldn't. We do have to obey some of the laws that are out there, they passed, and what God calls us to obey. Because if it goes against what God's is righteousness in us, we have to be righteous people. So if it's unrighteous, we don't have to follow that law. It's something we have to look towards God. So if you think about that, what does this look like? To be obedient in this world today. When Peter talked about, in 1 Peter 2:17, Peter said, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor." Peter is talking about respecting the people. To live as God's slaves, servants, showing proper respect. Especially, and love the brothers, especially the brothers and sisters in Christ. So you have to revere God and honor the governing authority. So he's saying you are to respect the governing body, the governing authority. You are to respect the community. You are to respect your employer. You respect your community. You should show your respect. And why is this? Because God had put in place this order of authority. He's the one that instituted this authority. We might not agree with it, but he instituted. So my big idea today is about the husbands and wives. When wives and husbands submit themselves to God's order of authority, we glorify God. So there's two points that are in this scripture that I want to bring forth. The first point is, I know there's a lot of people that have problems with submission, and there's a lot of women that might have problems with submission, but submission does not make the wife inferior. It doesn't. Okay? And the second point I want to make is the wives may be the weaker vessel according to scripture, but husband's submission will sanctify her and glorify God. So those are the two points that are in the scripture that we're going to be reading today. So when you look at the scripture, nowhere in scripture does it say that one person has absolute submission to another. Nowhere in scripture. It doesn't say that. If another person lays down a heavy burden on your shoulders, a sinful burden, and says you have to submit to it, that is not biblical. That is just wrong. Now, it does say in Scripture that we have to be obedient to parents. Children have to be obedient to parents, and then we should be obedient to our Lord God, and we should be obedient to the governing authority, and we should be obedient to our employers and stuff like that. But it doesn't say that anyone has absolute submission to you. You don't have to submit to anybody. It's not absolute. The reason being is because if it doesn't glorify God and if it's unrighteousness, we shouldn't be submitting to it. We shouldn't. For instance, when you look at the inferior, the wife's not inferior. I want to use Jesus as an example here. Jesus, okay, he was born with earthly parents. In his whole life when he was younger, he was submissive to his mother and father, even though he was the Messiah. This submission, I'm going to tell you, this submission was not an inferior submission. It was an obedient submission. So he was obeying the authority that his father put in place. And when you look at that, you look at the big picture of the triune God, you have God the Father, Jesus' Son, the Holy Spirit, all equal and all different. They're equal. So God had put in place this institution of family, and wives and husbands should submit to each other in a biblical way, in a certain way. And husbands don't have the harsh authority over their wives because that's not biblical. And we're going to talk about that. So in verse 1, Peter says likewise. And he says, submit themselves in a similar way. So likewise means a similar way. So what way are they supposed to submit themselves? In 1 Peter 2 is when Peter says to be subject to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution. This submission is God's order of authority. So what he talked about in chapter 2 about submission in the world is like your government and your employer, and the slaves should be submissive to their masters. He's talking about God's order of authority. That's how it is. So when you look at God's order of authority, and you look what Paul says in Romans 1:13:1, is that he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that have existed have been instituted by God. God has put those in place. And that's all the governing officials throughout the world. Even the tyrannical governments that are in place in the in the Middle East, the tyrannies that are around the world, those have been established and they're instituted by God. God has allowed that to happen. So as a Christian family, as a Christian husband, a Christian wife, as Christian children, our submission comes with limits. Though we are free in Christ, we should not. We should not do evil. We have the freedom. Just because we're free in Christ doesn't mean that we could sin. It's not right. For instance, in a relationship, I'm sure that these have happened in our families. I'm going to use an example of a man and a woman. The husband and wife are talking about doing some type of remodeling job. And the husband goes to the wife and says, you know, we have about $400 in the bank, and, you know, I want to do this remodel job. It's going to cost about $10,000, and I want to go and make a man cave. And the wife goes, And what would her response be? So, and the husband wants, you got to sign on the dotted line for this loan. So we could both, and the wife goes, what would your response be? You know, if you go, what do you mean? It's impossible. We have $400 in the account, in our bank account. How can we afford this? So that's not the response that a woman should have, okay? I think the husbands and wives should talk about this and discuss this, but this is where the respectful beauty comes in of the wife and the pure conduct. And it could change the husband's mind by saying, you know, honey, you know, I just think this is not the right time to put this financial burden on her family. You know, that would be more of like a righteous way to respond to somebody that is wanting to, you know, your husband wants to build this man cave. So that would be a kind of like a similar way that it, and there's another way. This tax season's up. His taxes are going to have to be paid by April. And let's say your husband and you are filed jointly, because most you know, husbands and wives are. And your husband's just trying to find every deduction that he can. And the dog food, the cat food, and everything that he can to put on his taxes to deduct for his taxes. And he said, the wife, what's her response going to be? Well, a gentle response, you know, honey, you know, I don't think the Lord would want us to cheat on our taxes. I don't think this is right. I know that people cheat on their taxes. I know that people do that. I know people take out these big, huge loans to build houses. But the response of the wife to the husband and her pure and gentle heart, her gentle spirit, can change the husband's mind. If it's not gentle, what happens? It's an argument, right? If you don't have a pure and gentle spirit, it's an argument. So, there's three points that I want to tell you, and this is about the relationship between a husband and a wife. And the first point is this: when you, the wife, shows submission to your husband, you are not inferior to them. All right, you're obedient in this institution of marriage, the marriage that God had created. So, just because your husband wants you to submit to him and his ways, and you might submit to him, you might not, it doesn't make you inferior. You're not less. You're in an equal basis in marriage. Another point too I'd like to make is if you're a Christian wife and you don't have a husband that is a Christian, Christian wives shouldn't conduct themselves as superior to their husbands. If the husband's not a believer, we are all created in his image, in God's image, and whether we're a Christian or not. So if your husband is not a believer, we shouldn't, women, wives that are believers, shouldn't be holding over their husbands and look down on them, because God created them as well. You know, whether they're a Christian or not, God had created that husband of yours that you're married into, the relationship. And the point three is, just because the husband is head of the household according to Scripture doesn't mean you have to defy what is righteous according to God in order to obey your husband. So that third point is that in Scripture, since Adam was first, and Eve was brought out of Adam through the rib. Adam was the one that was had dominion over the earth, over the gardens, and over the animals of the earth. And Eve was his helper. So ever since God created man and woman, and they became united, the man was always the head of the household. So, and we go to verses 5 and 6. He's as an example in 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. So this is how holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. So they were obedient to their husbands in submission, and they were obedient to God, and they submitted to him. And Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So basically, if you are obedient to God and you're submissive to your husband, that example that he gave is example that reminds me of the story of the three men and Abraham. That's in Genesis 18. So Abraham was sitting by the Oak of Mamre, and that was a religious site. The Oak of Mamre was around for thousands of years. In 2019 is the year that it collapsed. So it was around during Abraham, and in 2019 it just collapsed. And they took that, and it's in a cathedral in Russia. So that tree was a religious tree. They used to go there and pray around that tree, and that's the same tree that Abraham had set his tent up. It was a religious site. So he's sitting at the base of this tree with his tent, and he's sitting in the heat of the day, and he looks up, and he sees three men. And he runs to them, and he bows down to them. And he says, and he sees, it's basically the Lord that comes to him. And he bows down to him, and he says, "Oh Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, don't pass me by. Let me wash your feet, and you can rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring you a morsel of bread, so you could rest, and then maybe after you rest, you can go on your way." And the Lord says, "Do as you say." So he says, "Okay, you go ahead. I'm going to rest here. You go ahead and get the bread together." So what does Abraham do? He runs in to the tent, and he tells Sarah, need some dough and make some cakes. And then he goes and runs to get a calf from his herd, and he takes it to the butcher, and they prepare the meal. So, and he's preparing the meal, and he's getting everything ready, and the Lord's laying underneath the tree resting, and he asks Abraham, "Abraham, where is your wife?" And she goes, "Well, she's in the kitchen." And then the Lord blessed her and said, "One year from today, I will come back, and you will be with child." Well, Sarah was 90 years old, and Abraham was 99. So Sarah kind of laughed and scoffed and said, "Well, I am old and worn out, and my Lord is old. I should have this pleasure." So that's the only time in Scripture you see that Sarah has called Abraham Lord. And in the word in Hebrew, the word Lord is Adonai. And we sing songs that have Adonai in it, and that's Lord. Well, in Hebrew, there's two meanings. And if you look at Scripture, you have the small L with the Lord, and that is a personal Lord, and then you have the large L. So Sarah was using the small L, and all that is basically that Abraham was Abraham was the authoritative figure in the household. So when Sarah called Abraham Lord, she meant he is the one in charge. All right? That was her submission. That's how she submitted herself to him. So one thing I have to tell men here is that, so men, when your wife bake cakes, don't expect them to call you Lord, because it won't go over well. But wives should obey their husbands, not only in an external adorning way, even though this is important in relationship. Of course, you want to make yourself look beautiful, but the thing is what's more important than the external adorning is the internal adorning. And I've told my son this when he was looking for his wife. It's important to have an internal adorning, not just an external. A beautiful wife is a wonderful thing. Well, you have to have a wife that is beautiful on the inside. And why is that important? This is the spiritual adorning of righteousness. So that's why it's important to have an internal adorning. When husbands aren't obeying the word, and they can be won over with a gentle, quiet spirit, this beauty, this spiritual beauty that he's talking about here, is more beautiful. And why is that? Because it's a beauty that is imperishable, never goes away. That's the type of beauty that he's talking about here in the family. The wives are so beautiful on the inside, and an internal adorning that will never go away. So that's what he's talking about. It doesn't age. Listen, now I'm going to kind of make myself an example. You guys are going to think I'm kind of foolish, but it's fine. When I was younger, I remember I was dating Martha, and I used to work out, and I wanted to make myself look really good, and I used to jog and make myself, the best I can physically, and we were dating. So I used to run 3 times a week. I used to work out 3 times a week, and but I got married very young. I was 22 years old. 37 years later, you have gravity and old age. External beauty kind of goes out the window. That's why the beauty of the heart is so much more important. Because it doesn't age. It doesn't age at all. All right. The second point I'd like to talk about is to the husbands. And we have in Scripture, it almost seems like we have it easy. But what I'm going to talk about is not easy. It's very difficult. Wives may be the weaker vessel, but husband's submission will sanctify her and glorify God. Well, how is that possible? Well, we're going to get into some scripture to talk about that. What Peter is saying here in this verse 7 is very radical in its time. Women were equal in society in many areas, but they weren't equal in the governing of it. They weren't equal in the financial part of it, and they weren't equal in the spiritual part of it. They weren't equal in the priesthood duties. It was all controlled by men. So the husband always had the say on the finances, always had the say on the governing, and was a spiritual leader of the household, always was the spiritual leader of the household. That was his job, that's the main thing. And the reason why that's kind of radical, because if you think about during this time, remember when the woman at the well, that Jesus was brought forth a woman, and they were going to stone her because she was caught in adultery? Remember that? Well, that was what happened in society back then. When the woman was caught in a sin like adultery, the woman was the only one to pay the price. The man didn't. Because the man was the culture looked more towards man being the leader and innocent than the woman. The woman was always the one held accountable in that type of a sin. So that's why it's kind of radical, because he says in verse 7, he says, likewise. Again, there's that word, likewise. What does that mean? Well, similar to. So he's likewise in the first verse, and then verse 7, he's likewise. Well, what's he saying? Well, he's saying the same thing. That husbands should treat their wives, and he creates a more equal relationship, because they should also look at the institution that God had created and be submissive to it. That's what he's saying. So it says in verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding, considerate way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Oh. That doesn't sound too hard. There's only two things in there that many have to do: considerate and honor, right? That's pretty simple. Well, no. If you want to really get to the meat of it, he's saying that we should honor the institution that God had put in place when he says likewise. In Mark 10, 6, 9, this is the institution that husbands should ultimately honor. It says here, Mark, it says in 10, 6, 9, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, two shall become one flesh. So they no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Well, the same thing that Peter says to his wives, the husbands should honor as well. That's what he's saying. Husbands should honor the human institutions, the government, community, the workplace, the institution of unity of man and woman, marriage, that God has created since Genesis, as long as it is righteous according to God's word. So when you look at that, so it makes it more of an equal platform of husbands and wives. Peter says to live in an understanding, honorable way towards your wife. If they're the weaker vessel, Peter isn't saying that they're unequal to husbands. He's saying that they're physically weaker. The man's structure of a body is much stronger than a female structure. And it's just the way God created us. How many of you women have men in their life that they could actually physically arm wrestle and beat them? And anybody? No? Well, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the physicalness, the weaker vessel physically. So that's what he's talking about. So he says two things, understanding and honor, or consider and honor. Those are the two steps. When we look into Scripture, we have to go into Scripture a little deeper. And the husband's role is much, much harder than you think. It's not as easy as just being understanding and considerate. Ephesians 5 says, Paul said in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That sounds pretty difficult. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And then he ends that part of the verse with, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. That's how we are to submit. That's how we are to live our lives in Christ. All right? It says in Colossians, Paul says in Colossians 3, 18 to 21, this is more of a family thing. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. That's how we are to raise our family. That's how submission in our family looks like. Husbands must love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That sounds pretty difficult. I think we have a big challenge ahead of us as husbands. So we have to look at that example, how Christ loved the church. Now, how did Christ love the church? Well, we all know how Christ, he submitted to the Father's authority. Remember the garden, Jesus prayed about taking the cup from him, but he said, let your will be done. Well, God's will was that Jesus would die for our sins. And his death, his burial, his resurrection purified all who believe and glorified the Father. The Holy Spirit that dwells in us has unified us all. All who believe no longer belong to ourselves. And we are the bride of Christ. We are betrothed to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I feel divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. He's talking about the whole church body. That's what he's talking about. We are no longer our own. We are to live as Christ lives. We are to, our example is a much higher example. Husbands should treat their wives in a similar way. We should be spiritual leaders of the household. We should die to ourselves and take up the cross. We should live with our wives and our family and show our family the ways of the Lord. We should show them love, be tender-hearted, live righteously. Like Paul, we can help sanctify the wives and present them as pure. Paul presented the gospel message to the church body in Corinth, and because of that, he presented them pure in Christ's eyes. That's how we are to raise our families. We must remember that Christians have, especially Christian husbands, have to live up to higher standard than the world and society. We have to. Because our example is not the world. Our example is not society. Our example is Christ. And it says it right in Scripture. We have to live as Christ as our example. That's why Peter says in verse 7, so that we have to live as heirs of the grace of life. So when you have a husband and wife relationship, we have to live as the heirs of grace of life. What is that grace? The grace of life is what Christ gave us. That's what it gave us. Husbands must submit their wives not as just leaders of the household, but heirs to the same grace that life has given us, and that grace is Jesus Christ. That's how we are to live. It's not easy. This is a tough topic. We should love our wives, be understanding, sensitive to their needs, their fears, and their feelings. The same way Christ is the head of the church, we are to live our lives sanctifying our wives. And how do we do that? It says in Scripture, by washing of the word. Not only our wives, but ourselves. If we are not living that way, that's what it says in the end of the verse. If we're not living this way, then your prayer life and your spiritual life will be hindered. So if you have a quarrelsome family, if you have a family that's not in God's word and is not living a life of submission to the Lord, what happens is that in your family, you have a hindered relationship. You have discourse at home might be not the same as it out in society. So you close the doors, and in your house, it might be a little bit more turmoil. When you have turmoil relationships, it takes away from your prayer life and your spiritual walk with God. Whenever that happens. If any Christian has turmoil in his or her life because of a hindered relationship, ultimately should what? Turn back to God. And ask God how to show you in your heart what is unrighteous, what's going on. Ask for guidance and direction to help you not only your walk with the Lord, but also with your spouse. If we have conflict at home, we have to reach out to God. We have to reach out to the Lord and have Him guide our hearts. We have to look inwardly to see what might be going on in my life that would make a situation better. What things that are unrighteous in my life that's going on right now would help the situation. So when we are husbands and we have to live as Christ as an example, that's the submission that we all should live at. We all, husbands and wives, should look at Christ as an example. But the men are the ones that are the spiritual leaders of the household. They have a much heavier duty in taking care of their family and their wives. And it's not an easy thing. So if anyone here has an issue, turn back to God, especially if you're a Christian, and ask God, Lord, what can I do? What's in my life? What's sin in my life? Or what am I beginning my relationship with my wife? Ask for guidance and he will give you direction. If anyone today is listening online and doesn't know the freedom of the bonds of sin, or might be in a dark relationship right now, seek the Lord in his instruction book, God's Word. Your life will never be the same. It changed my life. And there's one thing that someone told me when I first was saved. There's a friend of mine, he's passed away several years ago. He brought me and my wife to Christ, and it was very, very simple. What the word Bible stood for. It stood for the basic instructions before leaving earth. If we're not in that, it's very simple. We're not being instructed accordingly. Let us pray. Dear Lord, again, submission is a hard thing. And we live our lives, and a lot of times we want to put ourselves on the throne and not Christ. Ultimately, Lord, when we are the one that is, when we are in charge with our life, a lot of times things go sour, south. And I just pray, Lord, that with this word today and the relationships that we have with you, Lord, and in our relationships in our lives, in our families, and the aspect of submission, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your word would be prevalent in our lives. And as we look to Christ and use him as an example, he humbled himself to the cross. He was obedient to you, Lord. He was submissive to your authority. Dear God, you are the one that is dominion over all things. And because of our salvation, because Christ had died for us, Lord, we are no longer our own. We bought with a price. And may we take it to heart, Lord, that we're just human. Sometimes we can't be on the throne. We can't control the things of life. We have to look towards you. So if anyone here, Lord, today is in the area of where Jesus might be in the room, but he's not sitting at the head of the table, I just pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts and our minds and our actions. And I pray, Lord, that we would go out and live our lives accordingly with love for others, love for our wives, submission to you, and also submission to one another in an equal way, especially in our household. Again, we love you and we thank you for this blessing of this wonderful time we had together. And I just pray, Lord, that your words would not go void. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.